I love the thing about the Antichrist, and he will make his headquarters in Jerusalem. Why is there such a big push right now that Jerusalem be divided, and half of it be for the Muslim people in the form of Palestinians, and the other half be for the Jews? Because once they get their toehold in the time of the tribulation, they already have it set up, and so Jerusalem will be the headquarters, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 45. Jerusalem is the center of biblical events. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, then Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Dr. Ed Velo, some of you remember him, he said that if you look at a map, a globe, Jerusalem, and you go both directions and come, you will be Hawaii. And so according to the Great Commission, everyone should go to Hawaii at least once, because that's the uttermost parts of the world from Jerusalem. I think he fudged on his translations in that. But Jerusalem is the center of it. It is the capital, basically, of the world at that time. The false prophet will set his leadership up in Rome, the city of seven hills. It was about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, that when the immigration really took off and Merkel of Germany was saying, we've got to take all these people, and now she's probably trying to backpedal very quickly because of what's going on in her country and persuading European nations to take in these immigrants. One of the things they said was, Rome is our goal. My antennas go up because the false prophet, the religious side of it, will be headquartered in Rome. Read headlines through the filter of prophecy. So what's going to become of him? I didn't put this on the outline, but what's going to become of him? Well, he's going to ultimately wage war against the Lord, Revelation 16, 16. He'll be drawn to the Valley of Megiddo. Napoleon said one time, it's the most perfect battlefield in the world. I've stood several times on Mount Carmel looking over the Valley of Megiddo, and it is. It's a natural basin, 185 miles wide with rising. And when the Bible says that the blood will flow to the depth of the horse's bridle in that battle, you can see it all in that big bowl right there. It's ready. And the Lord will draw them. 200 million from the kings of the east, China, will come across the Euphrates River. The Antichrist will have his forces there from Jerusalem, and God will draw them there. And the Battle of Armageddon will take place in just moments by the sword of his mouth. You read all that in the Revelation. He will be cut off without mercy, Daniel 11, 45. He will be cast into hell, Revelation 19, 20. His kingdom will then be passed to Messiah for what we call the kingdom age of the millennium, Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Now I want to go over something that hopefully will open your eyes about something of what's going on right now. The Muslim people also are awaiting their Messiah. He is known as the 12th Imam. An Imam is a worship leader. The one who is going to fill this is called a Mahdi. A Mahdi is the guided one or the messianic one. He will be both. He will be the anointed or the guided messianic one who leads the people in their religion. Now, they say that there are certain characteristics about the 12th Imam that's going to come and bring Islam full bloom into the world and will rule the world. And these are some of those characteristics. He'll be a powerful military and political world leader, they say. Daniel chapter 11, verse 39 says the same thing about the Antichrist. He will receive or revive a former empire, a caliphate, they say, that has existed before. Well, Revelation 17, verses 12 through 13 say that the Antichrist is going to do that. He will carry a black flag. Watch the flag of ISIS. It's a black flag. By the way, ISIS is the Islamic State of Iran and Syria. That's what it stands for. Our president says ISIL. He never says ISIS. He says ISIL, which is the Islamic State of the Levant, which is the entire Mediterranean nations. When he says ISIL, what he is saying is, these people will rule the Roman Empire. And he knows what he's saying. You will never hear him say ISIS. which confines it to Syria and Iran. He will also always say ISIL, the Levant, the whole Mediterranean area, North Africa, Middle East, and Europe. That was the Roman Empire, West and East. Now, with that, so that he will carry a black flag. He will rule the whole world, Islam says. Revelation 13:7 says that about the Antichrist. He'll be a spiritual world leader as an imam. He'll be a spiritual world leader. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says that about the Antichrist. He will target Christians and Jews because of the Quran. Revelation 13:7 says that. Zechariah 13:8-9, 2/3 of the Jews will die because of that. And the Bible tells us the same thing about the Antichrist. We've already said that his headquarters, this is biblical, the headquarters will be at Jerusalem. That's what they're making a play for. We know that he'll make a 7-year treaty with Israel, Daniel 9:27. We know that he will rule for 7 years. This is Islam saying this. He will rule for 7 years. And we know that the Antichrist will do that because 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says that. Daniel 7:25 says that when the Antichrist comes, he will change the laws and the seasons. You know about Sharia law and how that law is being threatened to change all laws of all lands that they control. And the seasons is that their calendar will be adapted over the Gregorian calendar that we follow. And Daniel just said it. He's going to change the laws and the times, Daniel 7:25. Islam says he's going to come riding a white horse. Jesus will do that in Revelation 19 when he comes after the marriage feast and comes to fight the battle of Armageddon. But the four horsemen of the Revelation in Revelation 6, verse 2, the white horse represents the Antichrist. So the 12th Imam is going to be riding a white horse, and that's what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to do. Daniel 11:37 says he will have no respect for women. Do you need me to explain that in Islam right now? You know what's going on with women in Islam right now? Islam says, the Quran says, that in the end days, Jesus will be connected to the 12th Imam in that he will serve the 12th Imam. And that Jesus will go before him, giving him credibility, and saying that he is the real spiritual leader, the Imam is, and that in the end, this is Islam speaking, that in the end, the 12th Imam will battle against Jesus. Well, that's what the Bible says the Antichrist will do. Are you putting it together? Now, this is where the 12th Imam comes from. He lived in the 7th century. He's lived before. And he was hidden in a well. He's 40 years old. He was hidden in a well to escape his enemies. I get my 5-minute warning. When the time is right, you know that passage, that phrase that comes from the Bible, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, which simply means when the time was right. And Islam says when the time is right, the 12th Imam will come up out of that well, that pit, and make his appearance. And he who has lived before will live again. The Bible says that about the Antichrist. You want to see it in your Bible? Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. This is pretty profound to me. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, this is what the Bible says about the Antichrist. The beast, which is another name for the Antichrist in the Revelation, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend. He has lived. He is not living, but he will live again. And he will ascend. But the scripture says out of the bottomless pit. Islam says out of a well, out of a pit that is a well. And go to perdition. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life and the foundation of the world when they see the beast that was, is not, and yet is. Now this is what I'm saying. When you look at what Islam says their Savior is, and you look at what the Bible says the Antichrist is, my conclusion is they're one and the same. They're one and the same. The Muslim Savior is the Christian's Antichrist. And God will cause strong delusion to come upon them that they would believe a lie, 2 Thessalonians says. The rise of Islam changed everything prophetically. I had to rethink everything that I had studied, that I understood, I thought I understood. But the European white guy that's going to be the Antichrist doesn't fit. But when Europe began to become Muslim, and Rome became their goal, and Jerusalem is being threatened with division and taking over by the Muslims through Palestinians and PLO and all of those, and then the cry for the caliphate, the infiltration of the strongest nations in the world, including the United States, there's only one thing that makes sense. The old Ishmael, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Herod, Jesus conflict is going to go on to the very end. To the very end. Until Jesus finally puts it to rest and brings the kingdom. Do your own homework. What I've told you tonight just scratches the surface. There's so much going on. The headlines every day. As I said, while we sit here tonight, 10 of our sailors, 2 of our ships are in the possession of Iran. Oh, it was a mistake. We're going to let them go. But they're not afraid. They are not afraid to challenge the strongest power in the world. They're not afraid. Life is cheap anywhere Jesus is not Lord. Anywhere Jesus is not Lord, life is disposable. And it's true with the Quran, Islam, and the Muslim people. So, Pastor, that's about all that we can stand tonight. Oh, questions. Yeah, you have questions. We got microphones, and because it's being recorded, I think they want you to ask your question in the microphone. Do you have questions now? Someone asked, what do you do with all this information? You do what Jesus said. You look up because your redemption's drawing nigh. You work for the night is coming. Hebrews 10:25 says, as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but you get together and you encourage one another. Paul said, comfort one another with these words. There's so much to do. Spread the gospel. Who has a question? When you get home, you'll think of 12 of them. Don't be afraid. When it comes to these things, there's no such thing as a dumb question. This is how we learned. Yes, ma'am. What does it mean when it says that number 666 is the number of a man? It's a great question. I'll tell you what my take on that is, because there are a lot of mysteries in the Bible at the end times. And a lot of times we just have to guess looking at the trends that we see in the end days. But the number 666, when you learn to count your Bible, that numbers are very important to God. The number 7, for an example. The number 7 is a combination of 2 numbers. The number 3 is a number for God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The number 4 is a number of the earth, the created earth. 4 seasons, 4 directions. Early man thought there were 4 things in the earth, fire, water, and those kind of things. And so the number 7 is a number for perfection, and it's God and his earth coming together. And so that's the perfect will of God. The number 6 is a number for man. Because we are not perfected, but we are greater than the number 4. We're more than dogs and cats and trees and those kind of things that are represented by number 4. So the number 3 is a number for God. The number 6 is a number of man. And so when the Antichrist takes on the number, it's basically saying, this is a deification of man. This man is God. Now, I don't know what form that's going to take. I don't know that it's going to be a tattoo across here or all here, but there's going to be something to identify. And it's my feeling, and I know a lot of you have read the series Left Behind, seen the movie, that kind of thing, but it's totally very, very inaccurate. Because when the Left Behind series says The airplane pilot in the opening scene says, "Oh, everybody got raptured. I better get saved." That doesn't happen. The people who are not saved at the rapture are probably never going to be saved. You can't be saved until the Holy Spirit tells you that you're lost. And when the rapture of the church takes place, the Holy Spirit goes with us. And we revert back to 7 years of Old Testament times. And mainly Jews are going to be saved during the tribulation period. I believe that when we embrace or someone embraces the philosophy, the power, the authority of the Antichrist, they become at that point demonized. I think they become demonized. And whatever that mark, whatever manifestation that mark is, if it's a chip, if it's a tattoo, if it's something can't be seen, and don't get paranoid. There's nothing wrong with a chip in your dog until the Antichrist gets a hold of it. In the early 80s, I was teaching on prophecy in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, which is 100 miles south of New Orleans. And a lady came to one of those services with a can of green beans. It was the first time I'd ever seen a barcode. "What do you think about this?" I said, "Those are good beans with onions and tussle." No, look at this mark. It's a mark of the Antichrist. No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with your computer until the Antichrist takes control of it. So don't get paranoid when they say, "Well, we're going to put a chip in your dog." That's okay if that's what you want. But you don't want to do that if you're here during the tribulation period, get one of those chips. But not until then. And so whatever manifestation that 666 takes, the message is, numerologically, this man is claiming to be God. Say that once again.
Another name for Isis is Dash.
I'm not familiar with that enough to respond. Most of what you see in the headlines is Isis. Or is, that ought to be a was. Who else has a question? Over here somewhere.
So when you were talking about that the Israelites won't let Islam just run over them,
yes.
Is that when...
There will be a major worldwide conflict. That's Ezekiel 38. The more local conflict was in Psalm 83. We'll talk about both of those tomorrow night. This is what stems the tide of Islam taking over everything, including Israel, the Jews, and all of that. It's still going to be very powerful, but it will certainly slow it down. It creates a treaty with the Antichrist and Israel at that point. Absolutely not. For several reasons. Revelation 3:10 says they will not. Revelation 2 and 3 are the messages to the seven churches, which represent the church age. The number 7 is the perfect number. And so the churches have the perfect message, God's message to all churches everywhere. And in Revelation 3:10, I will not allow you to go through the tribulation. Not a tribulation, not some tribulation. It says the tribulation. Then you find the outline of the revelation is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. Write the things which you have seen. That's Revelation 1. The glorified Christ. It's the only physical description of Jesus after his resurrection. Revelation 1. That's the thing that he saw. Write the things which are. That was the church age. Chapters 2 and 3. And write the things which will be hereafter. And when you get to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And after these things." That's the Greek phrase, metatauta, which means one has to end before another begins. So the church age of chapters 2 and 3 have to end before chapter 4 can begin. And here's chapter 4, verse 1. "And I saw a door opened in heaven. I heard a voice like a trumpet saying, 'Come up here where I am.'" That's the rapture. Why is there a door in heaven? Because Isaiah 25:7 says the entire world is encapsulated with the spirit of darkness. Satan's atmospheric. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And Jesus opens the door. Why do angels accompany Christians when they die to heaven? Because we're encapsulated with the spirit of darkness. The church in the Revelation is never seen on earth again after that. They're always in heaven after that. Until chapter 19, when we return with him. "Behold, he comes with 10,000s of his saints," Jude said. Those are the reasons why. I think the church will go through hard times, because 2 Timothy 3 says so. In the end days, perilous times will come. And like we talked at your house last night, everybody is anxious for Jesus to come, but nobody wants to go through the perilous times to get there. It's going to happen, people. Yes, sir.
Don't you believe 1 Thessalonians 1:10 is another scripture that supports that?
Oh, I believe it's all over. I think it's all over the New Testament. I think the typology of Noah being taken out before the flood came, I think there's so much that says that he will deliver his people.
Yeah, it says he'll deliver us from the wrath to come.
The wrath to come, that's right. And that associates with the Great Tribulation. Now, there are some that say, well, the tribulation really doesn't start until the second 3.5-year period, but that's hogwash and slop, to use Greek terms. Other questions? Yes.
I understand that you said ISIS was referring to the Islamic State, Syria and Iran.
Yes.
ISIL was referring to the entire Mediterranean.
Levant is the word there.
Okay, well, you said that whenever it is said to be ISIL and not ISIS,
it's referring to that their goal, not who they are, is what they want to be. Who else?
Do they refer to themselves as ISIL?
Most, yes. They call themselves ISIS. That's on their flag. But their goal is world domination. And they basically said that. And so, yes, they refer to themselves both ways. For world opinion, ISIS, among themselves, ISIL. Google it when you get home. It'll tell you all about this. Who else has a question? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes.
So could the mark of the beast just be the way you're thinking and in your head you're doing his work? Mm-hmm. Would that be the mark instead of the...
Well, I tell you, the mark, because it says in the forehead and the hand. Again, Satan doesn't have any new ideas. He duplicates what God does. And we know from Ephesians that the seal of the Holy Spirit is the anointing in the presence of the Spirit. We also know that when the 144,000 are sealed of God, that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them. And it's shown in the countenance. And so when the beast becomes one to put his mark, he just does what God does with the Holy Spirit. And he marks you with his mark, whereas God marks us with his mark, which is the presence of the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1 and the Revelation. And so it's a duplication. It's a mirror image of what God does, the Holy Spirit. He does with that. That's the reason I think that a person becomes demonized. As we receive the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus, faith and repentance, and we are sealed by that Spirit to the day of promise, they receive the spirit of Satan. They receive the spirit of Antichrist. It's the same thing. It's just the opposite. And so for somebody to say, oh, the tribulation's here, I better get saved, I missed the rapture, that doesn't happen. And you say, well, why would they ever take the mark? Let me tell you something. You got little children that are starving, they're sick, and you can't buy, sell, trade, get food, you can't keep your children alive, there's going to be a great temptation to say, I'll take the mark so I can help my children have something to eat. It's going to be a tough, tough decision for a lot of people. But once the decision is made, it's made, just like it is with Jesus. Once I made the decision, it was settled. Nothing can ever undo that. And the same is true with the Antichrist. Once that decision is made, you're his. And his purpose is kill, steal, and destroy, like Jesus said. Other questions? Yes, sir, in the back. One right here first? Okay, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I was trying to see, do you believe that the Pope, does he fit into the end time? Any of the end time?
I don't know if the present Pope is, but I'll tell you this.
The Pope now, whoever might be the Pope.
I think he's opening some doors for that. I don't know that he would be the false prophet. I think the religious end of the Antichrist is going to be in Rome. Of course, the Catholic Church is there. And please don't go say I'll bash the Catholic Church. But even the cardinals in Rome are not happy with this guy. Because he's the one that's saying things like, even Christians can go to heaven, you just got to be good. That Yahweh and Allah are basically the same. That the Quran can get you to God. He's calling for globalism. He's calling for unification of money, of politics, global warming. He's on that kick. And the Catholic Church say, whoa, what is all this? That's not Catholic doctrine. That's not what we've taught. And so I think, I don't know what he will be, but it will be, he's a type. And again, I'm not even saying he's Catholic. Please don't leave here and say I bash the Catholic Church. I'm not doing that. It's not my purpose at all. But we do know that the religious side of the Antichrist will be based in Rome. It'll be very powerful. And it will support everything that he does, which is globalization, militarily, monetarily, spiritually, all that kind of thing. And it's going to take somebody that's going to color outside of the lines to do that. And this is what this guy's doing. So he is a type of what will be. I'm not saying it's him, but he's surely broadening the thing to where all faiths are welcome. He's very ecumenical.
Eddie?
Yes, sir.
I was wondering, I hear the president say ISIL, I hear Kerry say ISIL.
Yes.
And you may not, this may not be in prophecy, but you have an opinion. And it seems like the whole administration says ISIL. Yes. Every news program I watch says ISIS.
Well, they're following his lead. They're following his lead. I don't think there's any question that our president is Islamic sympathy. He supports it. I don't think there's any question about that. He has even threatened Israel that if you attack Iran to take out their nuke capabilities, we will go to war with you. He said that to our allies. How many times has he shunned Netanyahu when he's been here? And now yesterday it has come out that our president, when he's not president anymore, wants to be the Secretary General of the UN. And Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, is doing everything he can to keep that from happening, because our president is not a friend of Israel. He's a friend of Islam. We just gave Iran $50 billion. What do you think they're going to do with that? Pave streets? Give health care? No. They're thumbing their nose at it. They already broke the treaty. But he's never rescinded that, never recalled that. John Kerry said, just settle down. They're going to get in line. No, he's a wild donkey. He doesn't pay attention to borders and treaties. That's Genesis tells us those things. And so watch the trends. Here's a man. I don't care what color. If he's purple, that doesn't make any difference to me. But the trend is, he's an Islamic sympathizer who has taken a stand against our closest ally in the Middle East, the only democracy in the Middle East, and said, we will take you out if you go to war with your enemy. And now he wants to be the UN General Secretary. Pay attention, headlines. Who else? Yes, sir, right down here on the front. Yes.
Or did he show up out of nowhere?
That's a great question. I remember wondering about that when I was a child. This is what you think about God. There are parts of God we will never understand. Our little peanut brains just cannot conceive who God is. And so you have to think of God as eternal, because the Bible says he is from everlasting to everlasting God. So he's God and has been everlasting in both directions. In eternity past, in eternity future, he has always been in existence. There's no way we can comprehend that. Time is a creation of God. Just like a tree or a cat or a dog or a mule, time is created of God. And the scripture says in Revelation, there'll be a day when the messenger of God, an angel, will come and stand with one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and raise a hand to heaven and say, time is no more. Time will go away. The only reason we count time is because of light holders. The sun, the moon, they count time for us. Well, heaven is a city where the Lamb is a light. There's no sun nor moon, so there's no time. And so God always was God in the past, as far back as our brain will think. He will always be God in the future. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Time is a thing that connects the two eternities together. There's parts of God we will never, ever understand or know. Talking to an atheist, well, there's just no God. You can't prove God. Would it be generous of me to say, with all the information in the entire world that's ever been in the world, would it be generous for me to say that you know 25% of all the information? Would that be pretty generous? Suppose God exists in that 75% you know nothing about. Are you saying there's no God? You'd have to know everything there is to know in the entire world and beyond that to be able to successfully say there is no God. Because there are parts of God we will never, ever know, never understand. Who can understand him? So, great question. God always was. Jesus always was. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. He had the cure before he had the problem. So where was God before anything was? He was in his glory, in community with himself. One back over here.
One more question.
Man, you're just a party popper. Right. Sit down, Pastor. No, there was no ISIS in George Bush the first. That's a new thing. That's a new development in the last decade. It was Jimmy Carter who changed things in Syria and Iran by doing away with the Shah and the leadership there and establishing the Ayatollah Khomeini and all that. Jimmy Carter did that. George Bush just called for globalization, those kind of things, and did the politically correct things. Both George Bushes did, and they just kind of ignored it and hoped everything worked out. But there was no ISIS under either one of the Bushes. That's a newer thing. It's come, well, George Bush II, it was growing. But there were no treaties with them at all. I can't hear you. Do the microphone, please. Oh, absolutely. Yes, when you give Iran $50 billion, they're going to use it for terrorism. It's going to do it. Now, understand, I'm not bashing the president. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just telling you the facts that any search will tell you. I don't know there's any question that he's sympathetic with Muslims. I don't know. Any question. And again, I don't care if he's black, white, purple, green. I don't care. It's the policies that he has. They're in the government. They one's attorney general. I mean, they're everywhere. He's just a sympathizer with that, and he wants to be UN general secretary, which means that there will be world domination then. And that's just the trends. I don't care if he's a Bush or a Carter or a Clinton, whoever he is. I'm just looking at the trends of what's going on.
Secretary of State Kerry.
And he is the shadow of Obama and what is going on. Yes. Kerry's actually the one that threatened Israel. That we would take them out if they attacked Iran, John Kerry.
Any other questions? I'll be part of the group.
There's one right over here. They can catch a nap Sunday in church. It is.
World. It's a spiritual warfare. You've got to look through. We have to look through the world.
That's exactly right.
And my question is, I wasn't going to ask you, but I am now. Let me say it. After the rapture of the church, people will be saved. The Holy Spirit leads. I understand it. So at that time, people will harden. Their hearts will be so hardened. That what are they going to, I wonder what their theory would be on where all the people with them.
Well, that's going to be one of the explanations the Antichrist is going to have to explain away. And probably we'll talk about the mothership that came by and aliens and, you know, those kind of things. But there will be an explanation. And it's not that so much that their hearts are hardened, is that they believe a lie. They are deceived. They're under delusion when that kind of thing happens. And so he's going to settle everything down. Because when you talk about millions of Christians that disappear overnight, somebody's going to have that explanation. Whoever explains away that and brings peace to the people, they're going to look to him for leadership.